fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us attain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're back again today. Really, one more day with a good friend, John Kazanjian. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Pete. Great to be here.
Yeah, we've been talking all week about John's experience in getting involved in helping lead and train people in exercising the ministry of prayer called Unbound. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program at all this week, I encourage you to go to our website. I think you'll really be happy that you did. Our programs are archived there. You can download them and put them on your iPod, listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. But today, I wanted to ask John just to kind of, I want to ask him how he got here, because one of the main reasons I invited John to be on the program this week is I see in John, as I've seen in so many people emerging over the last 10, 20 years, heard so many lay people, responding to what Pope John Paul II called the hour of the laity. You know, he said the hour of the laity has struck, and that is the emergence of the baptized people, lay people entering into, in complementarity with the clergy, their full dignity in terms of the service and the commissioning that the Lord has put on all the baptized. Thinking of the words of Pope Francis, you know, he's saying that every single baptized Catholic is called right here and now to be directly engaged in the new evangelization, and that every parish is a community of missionary disciples. And every parish we know is full of people like me and like John, so it's got broken people, it's got sinful people, but it's got baptized people who are in the Lord and they're called and commissioned by Christ. Everybody's been given a manifestation of the Spirit, St. Paul says, to be able to exercise spiritual ministry within the church in some way and extending the church's great mission, go make disciples, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we've been talking about all this week and what really John is sharing is his experience. And I want to know, how did you, John, I mean, you're a father of five girls, right? You're a grandpa. Mm-hmm. You're married to a wonderful, beautiful woman, Michelle, and you two are quite a dynamic team. And you've got a business you've got to run. You've got all kinds of things. And here you are, God's got you deeply involved in leading Unbound ministry, whether it's at clergy convocation, lay people, lay leaders, religious sisters. I mean, you're really helping the church. How'd that happen? And how'd you get from A to B?
Yeah, you know, Peter, you just look back and you say, how did it all happen? And as you said earlier this week, stuff I would have never dreamed of. Well, I'd say there are moments in our life where God is acting and you have a decision to make, and maybe he brings you back to it. Maybe he reminds you of it. Maybe you don't respond the right way at the time, but you can look back over time and say, wow, that was a significant moment. And those significant moments, as I've been thinking and praying about them this week and as we've been talking, I can recall two. One was back at the University of Michigan when I had first gotten here. It was the same year you arrived.
1982.
In the fall of 1982, we went to a retreat at St. Thomas Church in the parish hall with University Christian Outreach, and a guy named Mike Keating, who is now Father Mike Keating, gave a talk, and the talk was called Born into a Battle Behind Enemy Lines. That talk changed my life. Hmm. And Mike at that point talked about what we were born into, what many of us have heard is like the Christian worldview talk. What happened? How did we get here? What did we get born into when we were born? I listened to that talk over and over and over again. And I remember at the end of the talk, Mike saying, now think about your life. Think about what's going on in your life. Who are your enemies? What is the way that the enemy is trying to prevent you from doing what God has called you to do? And I would listen to that and talk about it. And then I started to memorize the talk just because I had listened to it so many times.
Yeah, and when he's talking about the enemies, he's talking about the, like Paul's line in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and rulers of this present darkness, the
right.
Spiritual reality.
Right.
Yeah, those kinds of enemies.
And how are those spiritual realities manifesting in your life? See, because I've never seen a demon.
Right.
I've never seen, I don't even think I've had an imagination of one, frankly. But I know there are things out there, there are spiritual powers out there that are trying to prevent me from doing what God wants me to do. So I think that was a big part of my formation and kind of learning that story, his story. We call it the big story. I like to call it the big story. Each of us has our own little story, but our story fits inside his big story. And if we lose sight of the big story, that's when we can really get lost. that was a very important moment for me. And the second important moment was the first time I went to Turkey, when Ralph Martin, you had called me up one summer and said, Ralph's going to go to Turkey. Would you go with him? And I wanted to go primarily because I wanted to prove that I didn't hate Turks anymore.
No, because you're Armenian.
Right.
I knew you knew Armenia. You knew Turkey. Your family had a history, a very dramatic history there. You could speak the language. Right. And so I said, hey, why don't you accompany Ralph? And I know you have great respect for him. So you ended up going.
Yep.
But I had no idea what you're going to be stepping into in terms of your own experience and what you had to
no
face.
No one did.
Emotionally, spiritually,
right.
All that.
No yeah. one did. You just, I mean, frankly, I thought I was a tour guide.
Yeah.
You know, you said to me, John, you're a full member of the team. And I thought, yes, but I am not Ralph Martin.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is
that's
something.
For sure. Me you, neither.
That's right. You've experienced as well. And I thought, look, my job is to get Ralph into the country, let him do his thing. We're going to serve the Lord and get him out safely. And I'll never go back to Turkey again. That was really what I thought.
Now, why did you have that thought?
Because no Armenian really wants to spend time in the homeland that they were kicked out of, that the Turks have never admitted what they did to us in killing 1.5 million people during World War I. It's a very fearful place for us to go. It would be, I don't want to try and draw an equivalent, but it's just a very fearful place for us to go. And no one in my family wanted me to go. I received a lot of pressure from my mom, my dad, my cousins, my friends. Why are you doing this? What are you doing? It's dangerous there. You shouldn't go there. And I just thought, you know, I trust the Lord and I love Ralph and I want to make sure he gets home safely. And I was very fearful when I went. But we would go and we would talk to small groups of people and Ralph would give a teaching and I'd give my testimony. And then we'd offer to pray with people if they wanted to give their life more deeply to the Lord. And all these people were coming to me for prayer and God was touching them. And Ralph saw it and I saw it and it made me even more afraid. Because even though I'd done all that type of thing at home, doing it in Turkey was a much different experience. I started to realize that I really knew these people. I really had, for the first time in my life, understood where I came from. And I could look at these people and knew what they were thinking before they thought it, before they said it. I could read their faces in a way that I could never read Americans' faces. It's like, this is my people. This is where I was from. I'm a child of this soil. And sure enough, the last night we were there, Ralph said, come and visit me. We sat down on his bed in his room and he said, I think you ought to come back here. And I broke down. And I said, Ralph, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can come back here. I'm having a hard time every day. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, do you hear the Lord here? Do you see the Lord working through you? He said something very funny. He said, I think you could run for Congress here and win. These people love you. And I laughed. And he said, look, go home and pray. But I want to tell you one thing. And this is, never forget this. He said, do you know the Lord's joy? Are you seeing the Lord's joy? And I said, yes, I knew. And he said, are you experiencing joy? I said, yes. And he said, we only experience that when we know what the Lord wants us to do when we say yes to it. And I thought, I couldn't deny it. I was experiencing his joy.
And the tension was, I mean, in some ways, I wanted our listeners to see kind of the anatomy of the unfolding of a calling, you know, of discovering a person's gifts. And I think this is the big challenge in the church today is the activation of the baptized into the direct mission of the church in whatever way they're gifted for. But for people to believe it and to know that God's calling is on their life and that listening to the little promptings you said, like you received, the little sneak previews of coming attractions potentially in our life, the Lord wants us to hear and step into those promptings and get discernment with other people and that kind of thing. And so you started taking steps and you had to overcome a big obstacle there because of all the pain of what happened.
Right.
And you had to forgive too, didn't you?
Right, and that's how Unbound started, you see? Because when I came back after that and I saw these barriers, I saw my anger, my bitterness still, that it was still there, that I really hadn't fully forgiven the Turks, that I really, under a lot of fear, I didn't want to go to Turkey. I was afraid to go to Turkey. That's when I came back and our friends, that other country coordinator said, John, you ought to go to an Unbound conference. And there was one in Cincinnati and I went down there and I read the book and I thought, wow, this is really powerful. Because I thought my enemies were anger, bitterness, and resentment, but what God was freeing me from was fear. And I was always afraid when I went to Turkey, and I was starting to experience this kind of courage that I hadn't previously had before. And I thought, this is so powerful. I need to learn it because it's for lay people to learn. It's for lay people to do. It's for lay people to help other lay people. And so I just started to devour the book. I started to take notes in it. I started to practice it. I started to try and help people by praying with them through the keys. That was in 1999. I've been back to Turkey almost 40 times now, I think. I've been to Africa. I'm going to probably go to Alaska this year. We might be going to India next year. I mean, God's just opening all kinds of doors for a businessman, an ordinary guy, a guy with a lot of issues. You know, I like to say I used to think an issue was the next Sports Illustrated. But we all have issues now.
Yeah, right.
I love serving the Lord. I love what happens when I'm out there. I love the opportunities he's given me. And I really want to say to your listeners, you know, we talk about anointings. And an anointing is just something God gives us to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And we don't really feel qualified for it. We really don't know what the Lord has for us, what he has in store for us. We just step into it one step at a time. But what I want to tell your listeners is I know that there are so many people out there, so many really good people. People that listen to your show are good people, Peter.
Sure.
But the Lord has more for you. He really does. I feel like I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg right now. I don't know what he has in store for me next, but I've seen what he's done over the last 30 years when I've given my life to him and how he's prepared me and molded me. And he needs us. He's calling us. He's calling us to get in the game.
Yeah.
So the thing I love to tell people is the Lord has anointing for you. He's giving it out for free. Get some and get in the game.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the words of Pope Francis from his first apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, and he was calling the church. He said, this church that goes forth is a community of missionary disciples. And he said, I dream of a missionary option, that is, a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, time, schedules, language, structures can be suitably channeled for evangelization in today's world. And that's what's needed, that the Holy Spirit, when we hear this, and Pope John Paul II spoke it so clearly over and over again, and Pope Benedict, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, all of us, and he's saying, I'm calling you, I'm calling and commissioning you to follow me now to fulfill my great commission to go make disciples. We don't all do the same thing. Everybody listening isn't going to line up and go to Africa or right. Wherever, or Turkey, may happen right in your own backyard, but the Lord wants you to be consciously personally engage, discerning your gifts, expecting the Lord to use you according to those gifts in the body, in your parish, in your community, because that's what the Lord wants to do in the church right now.
Amen.
To fulfill the Great Commission. We live by the two great commandments. You know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and go make disciples. The great commandment, the great commission, right? Growing and going. That's what he's anointed us to do and called us to do. And you've been such a great model of that, John. And I just want to thank you. Almost out of time. Wish we had more time, but thanks for sharing your story with us this week.
I love you, Pete, and I love being here. Thank you.
Yeah, great. It's good to have you. Friends, that calls for you. Doesn't matter what your history is, the Lord wants to bring you to a place where you can be in freedom of the sons and daughters of God to be everything that he's called you to be, and you can run with him the race that's set before you. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.